One of the things that tends to send shivers up the spines of modern evangelicals is any kind of mentioning of works or even calling upon Christians to have a very active and fruitful life. Anything that calls upon us to be active in that way tends to make modern evangelicals nervous that we're moving into salvation by works. But it's very interesting that if you go back and you read the Protestant reformers and those who followed them for several centuries, what you find with all of them as they were standing for the great truths of the Reformation, which is, you know, the ultimate authority is Scripture alone. Salvation is through Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. And all glory is to God. As they stood for these things, nevertheless, they discussed good works in a very natural way, with an assumption that, of course, this is something that is supposed to be seen with every Christian. And you find that kind of a naturalness about the discussion of good works also in the New Testament. Indeed, we see that both faith and works must be living according to the New Testament, because we know words are cheap, and people can talk about faith, people can talk about works. And it's interesting that in the New Testament, each is the test for the other. To know if you have living works in your life, that is, works that are really the product of grace, really the product of the Holy Spirit, the test is, are those works the product of faith? As Paul says at one point, what's really important about the Christian life, if you want to boil it down, is faith working through love. Faith working through love. Now you notice what he says faith does. Faith works. Okay, faith works through love. So in the New Testament, the test for living faith is whether it is producing living works. The test for whether works are living as opposed to dead is whether they are the product of a living faith. And I think one of the reasons why modern evangelicals tend to get wrapped around the axle of something that should be very natural to us as Christians is because we have tended to come to think of Christ's righteousness by which we are saved. In other words, it's very clear in the New Testament that we're not saved by our own righteousness, our own faithfulness to God. We're saved by Christ's faithfulness to God, his righteousness, which is perfect. And that's absolutely true. But the thing is, we come to conceive of Christ's righteousness as though it is some kind of a remuneration, like a bank account, like he's got a lot of money in his bank account, so, as though his righteousness can be separated from him, his person, and who he is in his own life. It's severable like money in a bank account. And the way he saves it is like he wires it to us, into our account. And so Christ is way over there, and we're way over here, and he has all the money, and we have all the debt, and then he wires us the money into our bank account so that all our debts are covered, and that's how we are saved. And when you think of salvation in that way, then everything is about, did the bank wire go through? That's what salvation becomes. That's why you have the emphasis on not just once saved, always saved, which is fine if you're saying that to ascribe praise to God because of his sovereignty and his love and the way he holds on to his own. But the way we tend to want to say that is we want to equate it to some kind of an act. Walking the aisle, throwing a pine cone in the fire at summer youth camp, doing something, praying these words, praying the sinner's prayer, which you can find on the internet. It's a fine prayer. But reciting any kind of a words or incantation in and of itself is not an act which saves us. But we tend to think if we're thinking about a bank wire, anything that we tend to do actively makes us nervous because it suggests that we're earning the bank wire. We're trying to merit the merit. We're trying to merit the bank wire from Jesus. And so there is a passivity that has come into the modern evangelical church. We want to go passive because we're so nervous of trying to merit the merit, to merit the bank wire. But every time the Bible presents our relationship with God, and therefore how he saves us, it is always organic. It's not like a bank wire. It is organic. We are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you find hundreds of times in the New Testament the little phrase, in Christ. Everything that attends salvation comes to us in Christ. In other words, in union with him. So he is the righteous one. We are united with him. We are one with him by the Holy Spirit working faith in us. And therefore, everything he is and everything he has is ours. And if you see things that way, or Christ uses the analogy of a vine and branches. Again, that's an organic connection. It's an organic union between the vine and the branches. That's always the way it's pictured. If you see salvation that way, then being active doesn't make you nervous anymore because you're not trying to earn anything, okay? So if you have a husband and a wife who are united, they are one in covenant marriage as God ordained, each one of them being active, actively working to love one another, actively trying hard at different times to change themselves, to change their sin, so that they are more loving as a spouse. They work hard to do things for one another, to help one another, and so forth. That is no longer weird. It doesn't mean they're trying to earn their marriage. It means they're trying to live up to the union in which they find themselves and to bless the other person. And so when we conceive of Christianity, when we conceive of salvation as a union with Christ, then actively loving him back is very natural. It's the most natural thing in the world. And that's really what good works are. It's just loving God back for having loved us. And because we love him and we see his images all around us in our brothers and sisters and even in the lost, we love them too. If you think of it that way, everything just smooths right out.